we really have made progress, and we need to recognize that, and we need to give God glory for that. We're going to do rejection. And I'm going to ask Sandy to come up, and we're going to pray over Sandy. Sandy's been battling something this morning, but she's here. She wants to do this, and we are just going to pray. Let's just stretch our hands towards Sandy now. Father, I just thank you for your empowering presence on Sandy right now. I thank you, Father God, that she's not only empowered physically, but she's also empowered spiritually. So I thank you, Father God, that you're holding her up today as she shares on rejection, that God, that what you're going to do through her is going to be mighty. So I thank you and I praise you for it in Jesus' name.
Oh, thank you, everybody. Father, have your way. Holy Spirit, wear me today like you did Gideon. The Spirit of the Lord wore Gideon like a glove and put Gideon on himself. So, Father, I ask that you just wear me, put me on yourself, for I can do all things through Christ, the Anointed One, and through his anointing that strengthens me. Well, I don't know a person alive. If you're alive and breathing, you've faced off with the spirit of rejection. Whether it's employers, family, peers, childhood. For me, I was saved at age 10. I was the first one in my family to be saved. And for any children's ministers, don't ever underestimate what goes on in Sunday school, because I remember like it was yesterday at a children's revival running to the altar, coming home. Don't cry, Mom. You'll make me cry. Coming home, crawling up on my mother's lap and telling her what I had done, how I had given my life to Jesus. And over time, they all became saved. But it also at the age of 10 was when the spirit of rejection came in and took hold. I was already a shy child, but when you have 21 warts under your nose, and they weren't just warts, they had whiskers. They tried cutting them off, they tried putting salve on, they tried burning them off, and they always came back. And the doctors concluded that it was a virus that could only, it would have to go the course. So when, from the age of 10 to 12, I had these 21 warts, and you know how kind peers are. I was told no one would ever kiss me. Wart face. You know, all different things. And you know, don't think that us deliverance ministers don't go through deliverance. Because I had no intention of even bringing this up until about 3 nights ago when I was up at 2 a.m. and Holy Spirit started bringing this up, remember? So I'm getting delivered along with all of everybody else. He just keeps bringing things up to the surface. And I'll tell you about a father's love. My heavenly father and my earthly father was, he worked nights at the newspaper as a pressman. And he wasn't saved at the time, I don't believe, but he came home on a Sunday morning, and the only thing on the radio was a preacher who asked if anybody need prayer. And he prayed with the preacher for my healing. And from that moment on, within 2 months, 2 or 3 months, all my warts were gone. So don't underestimate a father's love, him and your father. You know, some of us weren't abandoned that way, but the spirit of rejection did come in because I was already a shy child, and it drove me into isolation, and where I, you know, didn't even want to be seen or have any eyes on me. But I'll tell you what. God didn't do that to me, but he used it. He worked all things for good. Because what I realized later, it built my character. Turned me into an observer, a watcher. And what I was doing was my gifts of discernment were being developed. You know, David was anointed king. Samuel anointed him king at about age 13. 15 years later, he was crowned king. Through that 15-year period, or however length that was, God built in him the character to unite Judah and Israel. He built in him the character to put together the, you know, the plans for the tabernacle, and to have a heart, have a king that had a heart after him who fulfilled his will. So through our testings and trials and everything we go to, use what's resisting you to make you stronger. Let God develop your character. And so that's what he did to me. And then we face rejection at different stages. I went off and got married, and before my second baby was delivered, my first husband had an affair and left me abandoned, left me alone with two babies to raise in California with my parents and whole family here. So we go through different, again, it devastated me, but you know, I thank God for that. Because if my husband wouldn't have had an affair, my first husband, and left me and abandoned me, I might have still be with him, verbally and emotionally abused, and would not have come home, met the love of my life other than the Lord. He's my best friend. The day after we got married, he paid off every bill, every debt I had, adopted my two children legally, raised them as his own at the age of 66 and 3 up until they're in their 30s now. It's the best thing. Now I look back, it's the best thing that ever happened to me. See how God will use that? But you can also see, I know a lot more now than what I knew then. And I did not know to, I was practicing forgiveness with my husband. And what that did, God used those circumstances to drive me closer to him. Because from then on, from age 29, when I was so sold out for him that I've never looked back. So he used the circumstances, because I was a little backslidden and I shouldn't have married the guy in the first place. But it drove me to him and repented and made me, you know, part of my process of who I am today. So just know you're in a timeline, you're in a process. And God is using all your circumstances to make you strong. He will use them, make you stronger, build your character, so that you can now minister to others. You have earned authority. That's right. That's right. So the spirit of rejection is the refusal of accepting a person or a thing. You know, this person drives people to refuse to accept, recognize, give affection to, submit, and it ostracizes another person after examination. The person that rejects usually has an unrealistic standard by which he or she measures a thing or a person. Okay, that's the long version. In the spirit of rejection, you can be the victim and you can be the perpetrator. Because you've been a victim of rejection, what happened to me, it was a defense mechanism. I'd just go and hide, or I would not want to get too close or reject others for fear of being rejected. The wounds of rejection result from a denial of love, and when one is loved, he's approved. And he's approved and accepted, and when one is rejected, he's disapproved and refused. The hurts of rejection are synonymous with refusal, denial, being turned down, rebuffed, repelled, cold shoulder, slighting, shunning, spurring. You know, to reject is to throw away. Patty gave you the definition. Throw away, cast off, or forsake. But the victim is left, we're left dealing with the wounds and the fruit. And if we don't know how to get rid of it or how to deal with it, it begins to fester, and that resentment and bitterness, you can see where rejection just tracks you and fate, you know, your whole life. When an inner wound is experienced, this is for every, I don't care what spirit you're talking about. When an inner wound is experienced, it must be immediately cleansed by applying forgiveness. Forgiveness is a spiritual antiseptic. When one is wounded by rejection, he must quickly forgive the offending party. Otherwise, an unclean spirit can gain entrance to the wound and cause a spiritual infection called demonization. I took that paragraph. I thought it was so well written. It's from a book called Overcoming Rejection by Frank Hammond. He's a well-known deliverance minister. But what if you were like me? You were saved, or even if you're unsaved, you're physically, I was too young the first time, or you're spiritually immature and you don't know any better, or you have the tools to deal with rejection. Well, when things just fester, it opens the door for a spirit of rejection and its manifestations and fruit. In your packet is a rejection tree that I first saw with Doris Wagner. She has a book, How to Cast Out Demons, and she got it from this person. So I blew it up, and you can see there's a lot of things you can use. No matter what spirit you track, I always say you track the fruit to the root. I work that way. I work backwards. I track, see what the fruit is, what's going on with the fruit, and then I look at, okay, trace it right back to the root. So I thought, I put that tree in your packet, so I thought it would be helpful for you guys to even minister to others. Patty already read the prayer in abandonment. You released forgiveness for all those who've abandoned and rejected you. So that is basically what you would do whenever, even when you go home and Holy Spirit begins to bring some people up, some situations, just like me. I thought, I mean, I was 10 years old. That's a lot of years ago. Just cast your care upon the Lord. Lay it on your altar of prayer. Forgive the ones who've hurt you, even if it's your parents, your siblings, your friends, your teachers. Just forgive, and the Lord, let the blood of Jesus just obliterate every pain, every hurt, every wound. Let him begin to heal the scars of your life, the scars of your heart. I want to go over some of the causes for a root of rejection. And maybe you'll begin to see some people, like what happened with me. I saw things in my own family. And I said, oh, that's why they're angry, or that's why they're... I began to say, and I said, okay, we're dealing with a spirit of rejection. Well, let's go after it. Cut that off and the manifestation and fruit. So some of... And now I hate hearing this when people say this, because people do this without even thinking. You can have messages, send messages of rejection from the womb. You know, my mother-in-law calls her fifth child a whoops baby. Well, you know, there is no whoops. God doesn't make mistakes. It could be an inconvenient time, wrong sex preference. You know, how many people do you know, they're so disappointed because they didn't have a boy. Well, that sends a message to the womb. So you just pray and forgive your parents for not wanting you, because God didn't make mistakes. You know, maybe it wasn't the best time. Maybe it wasn't the most convenient things. And, you know, I understand if you're a rape victim, or maybe you contemplated abortion but you didn't do it. Those are still little messages that get sent to the womb. My mom, we joked because... We have five kids in our family, but the first three are stair steps, and it was 6 years before, and she got pregnant, we used to say accidentally, with the fourth one, but we don't say that anymore. And about my one brother, because she, you know, in her own admission, she wasn't very happy she was pregnant. But knowing now what we know, she repented. He's loved. But there was things that we've seen over the years that could have been little, subliminal messages into the womb. So she's repented. He's loved. So good news. You just repent, and we love our kids anyway, right? The manner of birth. If a baby has had a very traumatic birth, use the instruments. It was just that can have messages of rejection. A lack of physical bonding with a mother or a father. You know, not being held or cuddled. Being adopted. Questions. Now, interesting enough, since preparing for this message, my 30-year-old daughter, even though she's very happy, her dad is my husband that adopted her, very happy, not looking for a relationship really with her biological father, but all of a sudden, just last month, began to ask me questions and actually getting teary because he gave us up for adoption. Why didn't he want us? Why were we unwanted? How come he didn't want anything to do with us? And so then I had to delicately, you know, kind of love on her and say he did love you, but he had his reasons. So, but anyway, that was what I'd had to deal with. So, you know, I thought that because she got raised in a loving home and had a loving father who she called daddy, that these feelings wouldn't come up. Well, they do. So then you're left to deal with it. And cut off, and then I had to go back in, my mom and I, and actually cut off roots of rejection, repent, close doors, deal with any roots and fruit from that, so that she could be healed. Basically, that's what we want, right? Healing? Hereditary rejection. Doris Wagner says that it's the most common generational curse is the spirit of rejection. And we kind of talked about that at the first session. A lot of times it manifests in physical abuse. You know, the abuser was abused. And so that's... A root of rejection can form with the factors in your family home. Constant criticism, control, alcoholism, constant fighting, disinterested in any of your children's activities, unjust discipline. That can all be a cause for a root of rejection. Divorce, your parents or yourself. Death of a parent, like what Gerda was saying, death of a spouse. Problems caused by teachers or schoolmates. I still remember being spanked in third grade for something I didn't do, because I was so quiet anyway. How did they even... But I got pulled up in front of the class and spanked. Because I made a paper fan because I was hot. So that still, I still remember that. Third grade, still remember the teacher, Mrs. Scott. I had to forgive her. After knowing all this, I had to forgive her. Self-rejection. And painful factors later in life. There, you know, we've all, you know, faced betrayal by friends, spouses. Ron Sava talked about employers betraying, becoming crippled in an accident, broken relationships. They're all causes for a root of rejection. And some of the sub-spirits or companion roots are a fear of rejection. Now, what a fear of rejection does... And I had this too. It robs people of total joy. You become people pleasers. You worry about what people think all the time. What if I fail? I don't want to do something because I might fail at it. And then everybody will say, oh, you stinker. And you set up false mechanisms. So you don't even want to play the sport because you don't want to be the last picked or you don't want to get cut or you're afraid to fail on some business venture. You know, I always go back to Michael Jordan when they asked him, what was the secret to his success? I loved his answer because it wasn't, you know, Scottie Pippen or Phil Jackson or any of these others. He said, I wasn't afraid to fail. He wasn't afraid to keep being a risk taker, taking the tough shot. And you know, he had to miss sometimes, but he took it enough that he made them. Inherited rejection, that's a subset, that's a generational curse. Perceived rejection. How many, all of us have faced this. And it's a liar. It tells you rejection is present when it's not. Innocent statements are misconstrued. And statements are interpreted as negative. In other words, I could say, Lisa, wow, I love your hair. What did you do? I love that haircut. A person with perceived rejection would go, I wonder what was wrong. She must not have liked my hair last week. She must not have liked the cut I was having. man, what did I do wrong? Or I could say, wow, Flora, man, you got some new clothes. You're styling, girl. And she'd be going, man, I better go back and look what's in my closet. She didn't like, you know what? Do you all understand what I'm talking about? That's perceived rejection. You take always the negative when the person didn't mean it at all. She just meant, I like your hair. I like your clothes, what you're wearing today. Self-rejection. That manifests, you know, that's feelings of inferiority, manifests in eating disorders, self-punishment, low self-esteem. So today, we're going to go after these spirits and the sub-spirits, and we're going to renounce them, rebuke them, we're going to forgive. And actually, Patty, I'm strong enough to do this, but I will have you do the God. Thank you for praying for me. Okay, read after me the rejection prayer, please. Oh, are you doing your testimony first? Yes, yes, do that. I'm sorry. Come on. She has a powerful testimony, what you'll see. In all these things, you're seeing what they look like, how they manifest, what the fruit looks like.
Sorry. Oh, that's okay. She was on a roll. I hated to say, what about my testimony? Okay.
You know what? Then you go. Since you're up here, you just read this.
I think you should.
Oh.
Okay. Oh, my word. Okay. All right. Okay, I have to take a deep breath because some of the things I'm going to say are hard to say, but I've prayed about this. The first one I had was deleted in the middle of the week when my hand swiped across the iPad and hit something. That was Wednesday night, so I'm like, oh, the enemy must really not want this testimony to get out here. So here I am with the redone testimony, and I just need to take a deep breath, okay? So just be with me here on this. Oh, Lord. Okay, it all started from abandonment, and I have had to write mine down because I could have taken this like 100 different ways because of the severity of my story, so I had to really focus on for rejection, and just so you know, there's like 100 more angles to this, but I think you'll understand that when you hear some of it. Okay, it all started from abandonment. Mom was a violent alcoholic, and Dad was quiet and passive. In this case, it was real abandonment. Abuse that went on all of childhood until I was 18 and I moved out. There was physical abuse, mental abuse, emotional abuse. The abuse was to the point that each and every one of my siblings and myself would require some medical attention, emergency room visits, and a lot of times the neighbors calling the police because they could hear what was going on. Now, I am 58, so back then, nobody did anything. Nobody did anything. Out of desperation, I remember going to the priest because we were Catholic and telling our confession and purposefully saying, oh, forgive me, Father, for I have sinned. It has been 1 week since my last confession. I'm confessing that after my mother busted my sister's eye, open, and we ended up at the emergency room, I had the urge to push my mother down the steps when she was taking down the laundry. And then you wait for the pause. Nothing. Do 10 Hail Marys and 15 Our Fathers. So that's the age that this was happening in. Praise God, we're in a different day and age. Dad was there to protect us. He was a soft, sweet man. He was strong in his softness, but his attempts weren't good enough to stop what was chronically going on. The feelings of being rejected were strong, even as a very, very little girl. I can remember the many times my mother said in her drunken stupor, I hate you all, I wish you were never born. I recall even like the attempts to kill us all with twice. In those days, you used the gas stove and the gas ovens, and there's a way to turn on the pilot light and turn off the flame so the whole house would fill with gas fumes. And we were woken up and had to be taken out. When these types of things happen, watching her stab my dad, watching her injure him pretty badly with a thrown object, you cannot help but feel rejection. There is no ifs, ands, and buts about it. This is abandonment and rejection by the one who was supposed to be the most important caregiver of my life. By the first grade, I was painfully aware of these constant feelings. So that would be about 6 years old. So I recall at six, it was constant, like how you feel within yourself, feelings of loneliness, never belonging, worthlessness like a piece of garbage, useless, invisible, and without a voice. I had a severe stuttering speech impediment, which really fully manifested in that first grade, which compounded everything. So what you see is that the enemy was in there taking full advantage, because adding onto it, you know, this speech impediment, which my tendency was to isolate, and here I am just a lot of attention being called to myself. So he was just having a field day in my life, even as a kid. Classmates mocked me for the stuttering, but even those who didn't mock me, I was sure that they were, because I was immersed in rejection. I stayed away from everyone and only had one friend through all my school years. You know, you think of kids in the middle school and high school, you got a bunch of friends. I remember I had one friend. Rejection was operating on every level. You know, we spoke about some of the levels, Sandy said. There was real rejection, perceived rejection, and I automatically adopted rejecting others because this is where I was at. The feelings were so painful, I would cry out to God and pray to the God and Jesus I knew through the Catholic upbringing. And from 7 to 17, we had these bushes outside, and my dad always cut behind them. Like, my relief was to run outside when it just was so much I couldn't take it anymore, what was going on inside, and maybe in the house too. I'd hide behind the bushes and pray, God, God, help me, help me. That was like my outlet. When I got into high school and college, the feelings I carried increased to include feeling like I didn't belong anywhere, I had no value, nobody likes me, and then that feeling of being completely lost, like going through motions, and behind you is this feeling, you're lost. I have no idea what I was doing, what any goals were, what my life was going to be like, and I was sure that nobody cared. There developed a desperation inside of me. I tended to stay separate, and I isolated myself, always feeling like a victim. Another plus, well, the one plus was praying to God, hiding behind the bushes. The other plus was I did immerse myself in artwork in order to escape, and in those days I had a scholarship for college for art because you could be quiet, you can isolate, and I would express myself through artwork. I was always going to counseling, speech therapist since first grade through high school, counseling from 6 years old all the way through, always hoping and hoping and hoping someone could help me. In my 20s until I was 44, in my search for relief and in desperation, I got deeply, deeply involved, I tell you, deeply, in meditation, various forms of yoga. And for those that don't know, I don't mean the physical exercises of yoga. There are other levels of yoga that are steeped in the spirit. Eastern mysticism, Hinduism, I became a Reiki master. I was asking, seeking, and knocking in all the wrong places. And I unknowingly, so here you have the spirit of, you know, rejection's working, and then I get appetized into this whole realm of the ungodly spiritual. And unknowingly, just think of all the other doors I opened up, diving into all of that, including the occult. I don't think I wrote, including the occult. But the feelings of rejections, they just morphed, because here I had now like a guise, like a false cloak I would put on. Ooh, I'm spiritual. But everything just morphed into more of a chronic despair, a deep depression, and hopelessness. And then from my 20s till like 40, no, until I got saved at 46, I struggle with daily suicidal thoughts. I never took it to any action, but instead of saying, this is the day the Lord has made, I am going to rejoice and be glad in it. When you wake up, you say that. I woke up and say, oh God, just take me today. I do not want to be here. And I don't know how I'm going to get through this day. And I said that every day. Over the years, I did learn how to squash all the feelings just to function. I'd smile on the outside, stay well isolated, and just push forward. But on the inside, it was a living hell. I didn't have any friends, you know, all through adulthood, college. Went through a couple of divorces because the rejection theme was operating. So couldn't accept love, couldn't properly give love. When my family saw how I was, they tried to sort of gang up and take my daughter away from me. So to me, I was thinking I was hiding everything, but it was obvious that I was not. I always changed counselors, was always going to counseling, but when they got too deep, too close, it got too hard, I would just change and find another counselor. So you see, like, I got really good at weaving in and out of this. And it just, you don't even know who you are. You don't even know who you are. I think that the reason why I was drawn actually to all the ungodly spiritual practices was because it was a means of filling myself up with something other than feeling how I really felt and dealing with what was really in there. So to the level I was involved, I did tap into, you know, spiritual powers. And when you delve into that realm, there is, you know, something that you can, that power that you can kind of, you know, have walk with you and that you can turn to and be with. It's hard to explain. It is not the Holy Spirit, though. It is not the Holy Spirit. But I think that's why I was so into it, because instead of drinking, I just, you know, got, I was like a witch, I mean, I guess you would say. I mean, even though some of the practices were Hinduism, it still falls under witchcraft. And, you know, that's like a toy that I played with. That was a form of avoidance. I became a people pleaser. I tended always, always to work too hard, work multiple jobs, and therefore I was used by employers to do even more work, never stood up for myself. But I also saw that working was an escape. Finally, see, there is a silver lining. Finally, at the age of 46, now just think, I'm talking about 6 years old, at the age of 46, that's 40 years, folks. Jesus found me. And how did I get saved? In my isolationist world and all by myself, in front of the TV, one night, I was alone as usual, just me, the preacher, the TV, and the Lord. Well, he finally got a hold of me. He really did. I was so desperate. So that was 46. By 44, after some things I saw in the Reiki world, I saw some spiritual abuses that really disturbed me. I just renounced everything at 44, and I just said, I'm not doing this. And my heart was crying, God, you've got to do something. I need you some way in some form. So it was like 2 years of like wilderness. But he found me with the TV and Joel Osteen. After the first 2 years of being saved, the Lord did do a lot of sovereign work. I realized, it's like I woke up one morning and I realized I wasn't saying, oh God, I just want to die today. And when I noticed I didn't have the thought, I was like, I don't want to die today. I mean, it was just awesome. It was just awesome. And then I saw from that day forward, those thoughts were gone. And instead, there was a glimmer of hope. I would wake up with like this glimmer of hope and not knowing what to attribute it to. I would say, this must be the Lord. I sought out a church. I joined. I took every class they had. I went for prayer every Sunday, and I did not care that I was there on that line the week before, and the week before that. I was desperate. I realized that the size of the mess in me was so huge. Like I always felt like if you think of Santa's bag with all the presents, it just came to my mind as a visual. Like that was the size I was carrying. So I needed the same size of delving into Jesus to heal me. I couldn't just do a trickle here and a little bit over there. I had to dive in. It was either I felt like dive in or die. So I just knew, because I learned enough to know I needed a huge amount of deliverance and healing. I had, you know, some sisters in the Lord, you know, speak to me how you have to surrender. So I did open my, this was taking a big chance for someone who really likes to isolate. I opened myself up to trusted sisters in the Lord. And I became transparent, and they'd ask questions I didn't want to answer, and I answered them anyway. And, you know, the Lord would like whisper and reassure me. I just felt him with me saying, it's okay to do this. It's okay. It's okay to travel this road. This is a safe road. So I did have to become very transparent. I became a K-Love junkie. I asked, what books can I read? You know, what are some good books to read? Because going to the Christian bookstore, you look at it all and like, I don't have a clue. So I was mentored what books to read. And then I took a big step of faith, and I attended a 9-month long deliverance program called Living Waters, where we met once a week, where all the nasty stuff was dredged up for removal bit by bit by bit. And this brought me to a little side note that the Lord downloaded earlier just this morning. When people come, and they will be coming, the harvest is coming, and they have all this baggage, we need to remember that they need this stuff. And we can say, because some sisters would say, read the Word of God, immerse yourself in the Bible. And sometimes it was like, okay, I've read this 10 times. I mean, it's like sometimes the baggage is so big that you need deliverance. So empty out what's in there so that what you read and what you pray and what you listen to gets in there, that's not just rolling right off. So we have to have patience with the harvest. We have to be able to sit with them again and again. I think back to how many times one woman in particular said the same thing to me again and again, and bless her soul that she never lost patience with me. It's like someone like myself, the fabric was woven so crazy. I mean, honestly, you know, the fabric of my being. I mean, I had to get rewoven from the baseline up. It wasn't one incident. It wasn't one trauma. It wasn't one abusive situation. I mean, I had to get redone guts outward. I don't know how else to put it. There's also times that the Lord has still had to deal with me because of some of the spiritual practices I was involved in with the Hinduism and the Kundalini yoga, where he, over the last few years, has dealt with me one-on-one with deliverance. So I believe, because I've always told him, whatever else is in there, just get it out, that there will be times in prayer, like when he's taken a certain amount off of you, because it's different than sitting with a deliverance team. When you're dealing with the Lord who comes into your room and he says, we're getting the snake out of you, he's going to get it out in whatever manner. So for me, once it was very physical. I was literally, this is so brave that I'm saying, I would hate to say this normally, this is the Spirit of the Lord, I was slithering on my carpet. And this was just like 3 years ago, after we have dealt with this, you know, talking. I was slithering, and then I coughed, I choked, and I felt something come out from my spine. I saw these radiant hands. I knew it was Jesus right there. And then I felt pulling, so I knew he was pulling that thing right out of me, what we open ourselves up to. Ooh, so it's like, be ready. If you're serious for deliverance and you say to him, have your way, you don't know what way that's going to be. So you've got to trust him 110%. But anyway, since that time, a lot of my spine pain is gone. So praise the Lord. So just to sum it up, I can stand here today and say, I'm sorry, folks, but I am his favorite daughter. I mean, I am accepted by my Heavenly Father. We have a great relationship. I trust him to continue the transformation process in me. I live in joy. Like, one of my sisters thinks it's fake. She's like, what do you just wake up and say, I'm going to be happy today? And it's like, I keep trying to tell you this is the joy of the Lord. I know I have a future and a hope. I know I do. I mean, look at what he's taken me out of. Praise God. So I praise you, Jesus. I say, have your way with everybody here. And when you have your way with everybody here, let them be empowered to help others to cross over into all the goodness and the abundant life that you have waiting. In Jesus' name, I offer this and I pray, amen.
This is such a powerful testimony, and you can see when she gave her testimony how trauma in her life opened the door to rejection. Rejection opened the door to the occult, and the occult opened the door to so many other things. So we thank you for your bravery in sharing that testimony, Patty, and also look what God has done. Look what God has brought her out of.
Amen.
And that she can stand up here and testify of God is the deliverer.
Amen. In the books, we have the rejection prayer. Everybody could stand up, please, so we can read this all together. On the count of three. One, two, three. Heavenly Father, it is my will that the stronghold of rejection be broken in my life. In the name of Jesus, I repent of every sin, known and unknown, that I have committed. That was in the spirit of rejection, power in my life. I also break every generational curse of rejection, and I repent for the sins of my forefathers and foremothers back to the third, fourth, and even tenth generation and beyond.
And in the mighty name of Jesus, I prophesy to you rejection. Your time is done in my life and in my bloodline. Amen. Heavenly Father, I repent for allowing you to dominate my life. And I renounce the fear of being rejected by you and being rejected by others. And I break every place that I have given fear of rejection in my life. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen. Heavenly Father, I choose this day to love myself and to start seeing myself as you see me, a beautiful, spotless, pure, and holy bride. I repent for trying to be like others and quenching my own personality. I repent for letting this foul spirit of self-rejection convince me that you don't love me and that I shouldn't love myself. In Jesus' name, I renounce the spirit of rejection and I break your power over my life and my bloodline now. And I plead the precious blood of Jesus over my life and bloodline now. Amen. You foul spirit of rejection of others, I have repented and I have forgiven and I renounce you. And I break your hold on my life and my bloodline. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. In the name of Jesus, I renounce every spirit of rejection. I renounce the spirits of fear of rejection and self-rejection and perceived rejection. I renounce and repudiate the spirit of rejection and cancel every legal right that rejection has had to operate in my life. I command the spirit of inherited rejection, fear of rejection, self-rejection, and perceived rejection to loose their hold on me and my bloodline now. In the name of Jesus, now I prophesy to rejection. Spirit of rejection, your power has been stripped. Your house has been plundered. The walls have been cast down. Every stone has been thrown out. In Jesus' name, amen.
I'm just going to say, pray this over you. Father, Holy Spirit, come and fill every empty place that rejection, the spirit of rejection, perceived rejection, self-rejection, fear of rejection, and inherited rejection has left. You have been evicted, and now, Holy Spirit, fill every dry place, every empty place with yourself in the mighty name of Jesus. And we seal this prayer in Jesus' mighty name.
Before we do one last thing, Tom, come up here, Pastor Tom. I think this fits in good here. Okay. All right.
So we love Abba Father, right? Sometimes maybe we don't get that Abba Father feeling. Maybe we don't think of him as dad. Maybe we've been sitting around checking out this family of God thinking, that's a cool family, but I did this thing. I've got something I've done, and I don't know if I can be in that family. If that's you today, I want you to understand the scripture says, Jesus tells us, all who are heavyweight, who are burdened, come to me, and I will give you rest. It says, to everyone who received him, he gave the power to be children of God. And so if that's you today and you would like to be in that family, remember this. I get eternal life very easily. It says, if I confess with my mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in my heart that God raised him from the dead, I will be saved. If you haven't come to the Lord yet or you would like to reaffirm your place in his family, then just say this, I receive you, Jesus. You are my Lord. I believe God raised you from the dead. That's great. Now, if you've been accepted by God, raise your hand. Okay, all the hands should go up. And maybe you still don't feel that Abba Father relationship. Maybe you have something in your past and you think, too ashamed of that. I can't talk to God about that. This is something that I really cannot bring to Him. I want to ask you a question. Because what you do comes from what you believe. It's not what you think. It's what you do. Do you believe that God knows everything that you did prior to the moment He accepted you? He already knows that thing. Do you believe that you can boldly approach the throne of grace and find mercy and grace for help in time of need? Do you believe He's Abba Father? Yes. Then you can go right to Him with that. It shouldn't be between you and Him. And until you go to Him, you won't feel Abba Father. Because you're hiding it. You're like Adam and Eve with the fig leaves hiding from God. But maybe after you've accepted Him, you've done something. And that thing is on your mind. And you think about it and you think, oh, how could I be a child of God? I've done this thing. What a terrible thing. No child of God would do that. The devil's putting that in your mind. I'm going to challenge your belief about God again. Do you believe that God is omnipresent, omnipotent? He's all-knowing, He's all-powerful, He's everywhere, and He can declare the beginning from the end? Do you believe that God knew what you were going to do after He accepted you? Even that thing that you're now so ashamed of? He's up there waiting for you to come and tell Him. To boldly approach the throne of grace and say, Abba, Dad, I did this. And His reply will be, I know. I knew before you did it. I've just been waiting for you to come and talk to me. If you want Abba Father, if you want close, get rid of all the things in your life. Take them right to Him. If you believe that He's the loving, merciful Father, that's what you'll do.
So I think what the Lord is saying here, that God does not reject us. Regardless of what we've done, He does not reject us, but He accepts us.
These are all in the books. In our books, we have who I am in Christ. We're going to decree and declare these scriptures, these words from God over ourselves. Okay, is everybody ready? All right. I am accepted. I am God's child. I am Christ's friend. I have been justified. I am united with the Lord, one spirit. I am bought with a price. I belong to God. I am a member of Christ's body. I am a saint. I have been adopted as God's child. I have access to God through the Holy Spirit. I have been redeemed and forgiven. I am complete in Christ. I am secure. I am free forever from condemnation. I am assured all works together for good. I am free from any charge against me. I cannot be separated from the love of God. I am established, anointed, sealed by God. I am hidden with Christ in God. I am confident that the good work God has begun in me will be perfected. I am a citizen of heaven. I have not been given a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. I can find grace and mercy in time of need. I am born of God. The evil one cannot touch me. I am significant.
I am the salt and light of the earth. I am a branch of the true vine, a channel of his life. I have been chosen and appointed to bear fruit. I am a personal witness of Christ. I am God's temple. I am a minister of reconciliation for God. I am God's co-worker. I am seated with Christ in the heavenly realm. I am God's workmanship. I may approach God with freedom and confidence. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So let's give the Lord a hand clap. This is worthy of praise. This is worthy of praise.